Take your Bibles and look in our passage this morning, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Now, for those who have not been with us since the start of the year, we started a series of messages entitled All In. And I know that's not necessarily a new theme. So the world uses that theme to some degree, but we're using it from a biblical Christian perspective, and that is being all in. How can we be all in? And we've laid out several things over the last few weeks. And today we'll find that our next message is found in Luke chapter 9. And if you're able to stand, we're going to stand and read just a few verses here, beginning in verse number 22. So I invite you, again, if you're able to stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 9, and let's read verse 22. I'll read it. It says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all," Jesus did, "if any man," that simply means if anyone, "will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus goes on to say, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged?" In other words, what is he profited if he gain the whole world and he lose himself or be cast away? "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth." Jesus just simply says, "I want to tell you truthfully here. There'll be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And I want to bring a message that we would entitle today, All In for Jesus. All in for, for following Jesus. And I'll give you a few things to think about this morning. Hopefully it'll be a challenge to you, and as God's Word always is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God that we have and that we've read, and just the sweet spirit we feel already in the service, the good singing, and the messages that we've heard by way of testimony. And Lord, I just pray now in the Word of God that we have before us. We know it's a live book, and we know, Father, that it will penetrate hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. And just pray, Father, that you would just allow us to open our hearts, our minds, to what you have for us. And Lord, may we be willing to respond as you lead us on the invitation. Lord, to respond in whatever way you would lead us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our text this morning is really verse 23, and I want to draw your attention to that. And it says, and Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, here in our passage this morning, what we see is a challenge by Jesus, really to all who would be his disciples, or maybe his true followers. And it's no surprise that really this passage follows one of the most spectacular miracles that was ever performed by Jesus, I'm sure, when man saw it. And that was the feeding of the 5,000. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day and just viewed that? And I read it in Scripture, and every time I read it, it just excites me to know what it must have been like to be there. And now after that particular time, Jesus, he had quite a following. Can you imagine after viewing that? You want to see what he's going to do next. And so they were those who would follow Jesus, not to be disciples, but just to see what was going to be the next miracle or next big thing that they've never seen is going to take place. And it doesn't take much to get a crowd like that, does it? And so there's a big difference, though, in going along with the crowd and becoming a true disciple. Jesus had his disciples there, and that's who he's actually talking to here. But he's also had the crowd that was not his disciples. They were not really true followers, but yet they were there to see what was going to be the next big event. So we find Jesus calling the 12 to himself here in this passage. And he begins to present them a challenge of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. So the same challenge Jesus really presents to the disciples is really, church, presenting to all of us here today. And the question that we might ask ourselves, are we ready though? Are we ready and willing, especially in today's time, to face the challenge or challenges of being a true follower of Jesus, a disciple? You see, a disciple is one who is willing to be a true follower of Jesus. And there's a cost involved, and we see Jesus talks about that. And I want to look at verse 23 closely this morning, and I want to really break it down, if we could. And we'll just go just piece by piece here. And I want you to follow with me. And the first thing, if you're taking notes, we find that what Jesus points out in the first few words, he says, if any man, that just simply means if anyone. It's not excluding women or children, but this is anyone who is willing to follow Jesus. Let's look at those first few words. What I gain from that, Jesus is given a challenge to those who want to follow Jesus. And the challenge is, you've got to be willing to make a decision. You see, discipleship, to really be a true follower of Jesus, requires a decision. Jesus says, if any man, anyone. And then the understanding here that we need to have in these first few words concerning being a disciple, Jesus is not forcing anyone. No one is forced to be a disciple. No one is forced to be a follower of Jesus. I don't believe anybody was even forced to come to church today. Well, maybe you did your kids. Sometimes my kids would wake up, oh, Dad. And sometimes I have to force myself, my body. You know, there's some Sundays I wake up and, boy, that bed feels a whole lot better than just getting up. Now, once I'm up and ready and going, I'm excited. But, sometimes the old flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? We all battle with things like that. So Jesus, though, he doesn't force us to be disciples. In other words, no one has ever, that I know of, and we see that, Jesus never did, had been forced to becoming a follower of Jesus, and they would never be. So the choice of discipleship really lies entirely within the church or within the life of us as individuals. And then we find that not only does discipleship require decision by way of a choice, but it requires a decision by way of a confession. He says, if any man will come. Now, once an individual makes the choice to become a disciple, that is, to make a commitment to become a follower of Jesus Christ, then he or she must be willing to confess. This matter of secret discipleship is not really welcome at all. God doesn't welcome that. It's not of God. God doesn't want his disciples to be secretive. God wants us to be open as followers of Christ. Now, God is looking for those who are willing to be all in. And that's, again, the title of today's message. The idea of being willing to be all in to follow Jesus. Now, I know if I took a survey this morning and asked and put you on the spot in front of everybody, how many would be all in to saying, I follow Jesus? Everybody. I'm sure everybody in this room would raise their hand. But it could be that maybe you've been in positions of following Jesus for the wrong reasons, much like some in this crowd. Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, if you look down, says, for whosoever, Jesus says, shall be ashamed of me. Now, that's speaking really of unbelievers. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So, we see that to be a disciple requires a decision which involves a choice, a confession, and it also involves Christ, go on to see in verse 23 where it says, if any man will come after me, Jesus says. Jesus has said, follow me. You might think, some might think, well, he's being a little selfish here. No, he's God. No one better to follow than Christ, right? And he says, if anyone will come after me, speaking of himself, he's talking about you need to be willing to follow him for the right reasons. Now, there were those, again, that followed Jesus because they wanted to see the next miracle. There are those today that follow the Benny Hinn's. There are those that follow the Joel Osteen's and the Jim Bakers because they want to see them do the next miracle that they claim that they can do sometimes. Listen, I've never seen anybody like that grow an arm, though. Have you? Or raise a dead. Jesus could do that if he chose to. But Jesus didn't want you to follow him for the miracles. Jesus does not want us to be in that crowd for the wrong reason. Jesus wanted them to be followers for the right reason. But it was going to require a decision on their part. So following Jesus requires a decision. Secondly, following Jesus requires denial. Jesus goes on to say in verse 23, let him deny himself. Denying of self, that goes against the grain of human nature. Now, we love ourselves. I mean, not to the point to where it should be prideful. But yet, at the same time, self-denial should be, in the Christian life, a common thread, which often is not when it comes to human nature. We see that Jesus taught in many other places in the gospel self-denial. It was a common teaching when he spoke to the disciples. You could look in Matthew chapter 10 and Mark chapter 8 and even in John chapter 12 where Jesus spoke about if you're going to be a disciple, then you've got to deny yourself. You see, to deny myself means that I must yield, Jesus is talking about here. Yield yourself and myself and all the claims that I have had upon my life. Yield them to Jesus. Because Jesus is seeking a willingness. And that's what he was doing with the disciple here. And even those within the crowd, Jesus is seeking a willingness from all who are willing to follow him to obey his commandments, to obey his word, to be willing as a follower of Jesus to not only obey, but yet to serve one another and to suffer. And even perhaps, he goes on to say, perhaps the idea, the teaching, being willing to die for Christ's sake. You see, to become God's property, to be used however God wants you to be used. Again, I told you in the beginning of the message, being the disciple is going to require something that is a challenge to us. I have a Dodge truck that I love my Dodge truck. It's black, it's not red. I like red, but God gave me I'm paying the payments, so I'm doing, but God provided, let me put it that way, a black truck. And it wasn't brand new when I got it, and it's showing its age a little bit. But if I took my truck, which I wouldn't do, I'd rather take where's Dave Paulson? Oh, he's checking on our kids in the back. Miss Malawan, you're back there. That's really your truck, though, right? Brother Dave, have you noticed Brother Dave and Malawan's Dodge truck? It's a pearl white. They keep it shiny clean. Now, there's a difference between my choosing my truck in a demolition derby and borrowing Brother Dave's truck. I'd rather use Brother Dave's truck in a demolition derby than mine. Because, you see, it wouldn't cost me anything. I mean, really doesn't, there's no investment on my part. Now, it is on their part. They wouldn't appreciate that. The point I'm making here, when we say denial, God wants us to deny ourselves. And denying ourselves simply means we've got to yield to God. Sometimes yielding things or loved ones that maybe will give us up because we're willing to follow Christ. Denial of self simply involves what God is saying here. God wants us, all of us. That involves everything that we possess. God wants us, meaning our bodies, total commitment, full surrender. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, Paul says, what? That is, he starts out with that question mark, what? In verse 19, he says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have from God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what is Paul saying? God dwells within the believer. God doesn't dwell in this building. We didn't come here to find God here today. Now God is here, but he's here because you're here. If you're a believer, once this building is empty, well, God doesn't sit around and wait for next Sunday to come along before, you know, he meets with us. No, he goes with us. In other words, our body is the sanctuary where God dwells through the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. So what does that mean, preacher? Well, what Paul, I think, is stressing here, for us to understand that God dwells within our bodies. Therefore, when we participate in sin or we commit sin as a believer, what are we doing to this sanctuary? Well, God dwells here, right? If you're a believer, what are we doing? We're inviting sin to come in, which, by the way, that makes God very uncomfortable, doesn't it? And that's why sin, when we commit sin, it ought to make us uncomfortable. And if you're a true believer, you will. You'll be convicted. God will say, hey, that doesn't belong here. It needs to be confessed. It needs to be made right. Because you, if you're a true believer in Christ, a true follower in Christ, then we should say no to sin. Now, granted, we're not perfect yet till we get to heaven. We're not sinless, in other words, until we get our new body. But while we're on the face of the earth, we are going to battle with sin. Now, as we grow and as we mature as a follower of Christ, then hopefully the less that we will sin, right? But what we ought to be conscious of is the fact that, as I think what Paul is stressing here in 1 Corinthians, what we ought to be conscious of is what sin does to the body, to the place where God dwells. Christ's true disciples have been purchased, he says, by his precious blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19, Peter says, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition, or in other words, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus says that I bought you. You're paid for. We all have been bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary when he died for us. And so when we talk about following Jesus, denying self, that alone should have motivated us to say, hey, I want to be all in for Jesus. I want to follow Jesus because he gave his all for me. Now, following Jesus requires denial, and in that, it not only means denial of self, but it also involves something that we don't like to give up, and that's part of our human nature, and that is denial of selfish plans. You know, as a disciple, we've got to be willing to yield our own plans for our life and seek God's will. Does God ever seem to come calling for us to do something sometimes that we have to think about, well, I wonder if I'm going to do this, because if I do that, then that means I can't go here or I can't do that, because that messes up my plans. Sometimes just going to church will have a way to mess up plans, especially in the middle of the summertime. You got this fishing trip all planned out, and man, or going to a ball game. We go to ball games down here a lot. I told you the other day, I'm just glad Alabama and Auburn don't play on Sunday. I won't go much farther than that. Because God would disrupt our plans, wouldn't he? No, God wouldn't disrupt our plans. It just simply means we might have to rearrange our plans. Because, you know, God doesn't work off our calendar. You see, denying of selfish plans mean that we yield our plans, our life, totally and completely to God. There needs to be a willingness, though, to do that. To be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, there needs to be a willingness to do what pleases God and not necessarily what pleases us or others. God's not looking for perfection. God understands we live in a world where there's a lot of things that go on. He knows that we have activities. He knows we have things that will rob us of our attention. And God makes way for that. But yet at the same time, God wants us to make sure that we understand what a follower involves. It involves denial. Even denial of plans. A true follower of Jesus Christ will always consider what the will of God is before making major decisions. I hope that before you got married, you made sure that you sought God's direction in who you're going to marry. There's some young people here, and I'm bringing this up because you know what? It's important that our young people hear this. You're going to meet people all along the way, and social media today and all like that. Listen, don't ever settle for second best. Always make sure you wait for God's very best. Now, I've had people, well, what is that, preacher? You'll know it. You'll know it. But if you settle as, listen, some will tell you that maybe have done that and it's gotten them in trouble, it's not worth it. Now that when it comes to marriage, when it comes to a career, whether it be a job or whether it be ministry or whatever, listen, make sure God's involved in your planning stages. Don't set God aside even when you know that God may have a different opinion on matters. God's way is always going to be the best way, isn't it? We need to seek God's way. So following Jesus as a disciple requires denial. Then thirdly, following Jesus as a disciple requires dedication, or in other words, commitment. That's our third point, dedication. He goes on to say in verse 23, let him, the idea of let him or her take up his cross daily. Now, what does cross-bearing mean? Does cross-bearing mean that I must fashion a wooden cross like Jesus was forced to carry up to Calvary? Is that something that cross-bearing means? Does it mean it is anything that may be unpleasant in my life? Absolutely not. None of those. You see, cross-bearing is actually voluntary. It is. It's something that you've got to be willing to do. It's voluntary. The cross was God's will for Jesus. He willingly went up Calvary's cross. He willingly suffered pain upon the cross and shed his blood. He willingly did that all because of his great love he did for us. He was not made to do that. Jesus willingly bore our sins. And that's what God wants us to be willing to do. Be willing to, of course, to be dedicated enough to carry the cross. Jesus never rebelled against doing the will of God. Rather, he voluntarily laid down his life. And you know, cross-bearing is necessary. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, we need to understand that in dedication, cross-bearing is necessary. Luke chapter 14, you can turn there if you want, but it simply says in verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, Jesus says. You can't be a disciple of God if you're not willing to bear his cross and come after him, because a true follower, a true believer or disciple of Christ will be willing to seek to do God's will. And there are too many today who are telling God no. There are too many that claim to be a Christian that are saying no to God. And where do we get the idea that, by the way, that we can look up to heaven and say no to an almighty sovereign God of the universe who's proven His great love for us. Just as it's necessary for Jesus to bear the cross to Golgotha, you know, it's necessary for those who will be willing to follow Jesus, to be all in for Jesus, and be willing to do God's will. And then cross-bearing is daily. When we talk about dedication, not only is it necessary, not only is it voluntary, but it's daily. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. I can bear the cross today because it's easy to do. Among a crowd of folks, we can all bear the cross and look and act like a Christian. And look like that, boy, we're doing great deeds. We showed up on church. And by the way, I'm not knocking that. I appreciate the fact you're here today. I'm glad that God allowed me to be here today. But the real test of cross-bearing, of being a disciple, of following Jesus, is when we go out these doors and the fiery darts are being shot at us. And the trials and the temptations. Then we wonder, is it worth it? Cross-bearing is daily. It isn't something that's only done during times of religious festivities. We can bear the cross at Christmas time. We can go to church at Easter and say, boy, I've done my good deed for the year. But Jesus is not looking for that time of special occasions just to be willing to say, I'll bear the cross. We see this a lot of time where people are willing to say, I'll wear a wooden cross this time of year, Easter, for Jesus. But that's not what he's talking about. It's that daily yielding ourselves to God's will. Now, I'm not here to preach to make you feel uncomfortable this morning. Some things I've said in studying this week has made me feel uncomfortable. God didn't want us to feel guilt this morning. Guilt comes from the devil. God doesn't put guilt on it. But you know what? If you're feeling conviction, that's a good thing. Because conviction comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Devil likes to say, you know what? Listen to that preacher. He's trying to make you feel like you're nothing but a sorry person. Now, if you're feeling that, though, that's not the preacher. That's not the Holy Spirit. No, that's not the purpose of this message this morning. Because we all have some areas that we can kind of line up to be better at. But the challenge is today, are we really counting the cost? Jesus says to be a disciple, there's a cost involved. Bearing that cross. Someone may ignore what we say, but if our life reflects a daily surrender to God's will and to God's principles, then we'll do what Paul has caused us to do in the living epistles, and that's to be read by all. The greatest Bible that anybody could read, yes, it's obviously the Word of God, but as the Word of God flows through us, your life may be that testimony. As we live the Word of God in our life, you go to work tomorrow. You may not carry the Bible under your arm at school, young people are at work. But if we're bearing the cross and we're being a follower of Jesus, it may be that you may be the only living book that somebody will read that is the Word of God, that points people in the right direction. Following Jesus requires dedication. Then fourthly, and we'll close with this, following Jesus, to be a true disciple of Jesus, requires determination. Determination. Now, what do you mean? Look at what he says in Scripture here in verse 23. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, we stressed that a few moments ago a little bit, but let me pick up on that. What is he talking about? How do we do that daily? What are some things that are involved there? Yeah, we carry the cross daily, but what's involved in that? Well, we need to be determined to live the Word of God. I alluded to that a little bit. John 8:31 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, if you continue, that is, if you abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. There may be a lot of folks that will claim to be a disciple, but really, in the truest sense of the word, they're not. They're part of the crowd because, you know, they just want to see what's going to happen. But they've never really made that step to become a true believer. You see, a true believer means you've got to make a decision. It means you've got to be willing to deny, not God, but some things that we talked about. It's going to require dedication and definitely determination. He says in John 8:31, there's a word continue. It means to abide. That continue means to abide in, to dwell in, to remain, to stand. So the first step in the progress toward true discipleship is belief. Not head knowledge, but a genuine belief in Almighty God. Has there been a time in your life where you came to a point you realize that I need Jesus? Not the head knowledge part. Most everybody out here knows Jesus. You go out on the street, ask how many of you heard of Jesus? But do you have a heart belief? Has Jesus came into your heart? Has He changed your life? Is He truly your Messiah? Is He your God? Now, if you abide in My word, John says, then you are truly My disciples. This reveals the second step in the progress toward true discipleship. Once you truly believe upon the Lord and accept Him in your heart and life, then that's where discipleship begins. That's the beginning of discipleship. A true heart of belief. Because at the moment that you accepted Jesus in your heart as your Savior, you said by faith that I want to be a follower of Jesus. I accept Him. Not realizing maybe what the cost is going to be involved. That comes later sometimes. But a true disciple is one who has chosen, who has determined to make the Word of God part of their life. And this is the perseverance and obedience in Scripture. In other words, we just don't follow it today just because the preacher says to, but we persevere. We want to grow. That's why maybe many of you are in church today, because you want to grow in God's Word. You want to bear fruit. And that's part of, again, discipleship, bearing fruit, because when others see our life, they see the fruit of our life, which is evidence of genuine faith, right? How do you know somebody's saved? One good sign, Paul says, is by the fruit that they bear. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of that comes from God. But we have to abide. Know Christ. How much time do we spend in God's Word? How much of the Word is in our life? Because you see, real disciples are both learners and followers. Right? You're a learner. I'm a learner. And I'm a follower. And then discipleship requires not only the word, but it requires love for one another. John 13, verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are My disciples. What does it say in the rest of that? If you have what? Love one to another. Now with what kind of love? Well, it's the same kind of love that Jesus demonstrated to all of us. And the only way we know love is to know Jesus. It's a self-sacrificing, self-giving love. Have you noticed that love is something that's demonstrated in action? It's not just comes words, but it's demonstrated in action. That's why sometimes we go out of our way to maybe share the love of Christ with others, or maybe to love people that we just used to wouldn't love, but now we love them. We don't know why. Yeah, we know why. The only way we can love them is because Jesus loves us. And then discipleship requires us to be determined to bear fruit. John 15, verse 8 says, herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be My disciples. The fruit of discipleship is what is the sign of really knowing Christ. One is we need to be soul conscious. We talked about that a little bit last week in our message. Caring for our neighbor. Caring for people that really nobody else would seem to care for. Well, that comes when we're soul conscious, bearing fruit. When we meet others, when we consider them, listen, have a need, a spiritual need, we go out of our way to try to meet that need. Note that you bear much fruit. That means that we should continually be reaching out to others with the gospel. We should never get to a point where we think, well, we've hit this plateau and we'll just let somebody else do it. No, listen, we're to constantly be bearing fruit for Christ. Discipleship requires that kind of determination to love one another, to bear fruit, and then lastly, to be determined to follow Jesus. No matter where, not man. No one is here that I know of because of this preacher today. I hope that's not the case. Now, hopefully you like me. Hopefully, you know, that I haven't offended you. Now, if I preach God's word and something's come across as offended you, I can't apologize for that. Now, if my opinion kind of got to you, now, I apologize for that. Sometimes my opinion, well, my opinion's not worth anything. God's word is worth it. But you're not here for the preacher today or any man, listen, or Sunday school teacher. We are determined, whatever we set out to do, to follow Jesus. And what is that? He's the example that's found in the Word of God. His compassion for others. You can't go wrong by following Jesus, right? I mean, He's demonstrated compassion, and He does to all of us today. And His Word is just, there's no other book like it. It's His love letter to us. And His challenge to all today for us as we conclude is, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So that's my closing comment. Jesus gives us a challenge. And that is, will you take up the challenge though? Are you willing to say, well, preacher, I'm a believer, I have Jesus in my heart, but the question is, are you willing to take up the challenge and truly be a follower of Jesus? Not just go with the crowd. It's not going to make you popular in school, young people. It's not going to make you popular in your workplace, maybe with some family members. I saw a video this morning, it took place yesterday, of a black preacher in England. Street preaching. And he was preaching the gospel. And two police officers came up and arrested him. Well, first of all, they told me, you got to stop. You got to understand, they're talking English and it's hard to understand. I say English. A different kind of English than us Southerners. And they said, you're making too much peace. That's what they said. And he says, peace? That's right. Something along that line. And he tells them, you need Jesus in your heart. You need him in your heart. And he's raising his voice, but yet he's doing it as a street preacher. And they told him, if you don't stop, we're going to arrest you. If you don't stop, we're going to arrest you. And he kept preaching. And he's probably 70 years old. And they took and they cuffed him and took him off to jail for preaching Jesus. Now, you say, well, he should have just kept his mouth shut. Well, I didn't see anything disrespectful. And I don't know what the law is there. I don't know. Maybe they have a law you can't preach Jesus. I didn't know that. Or maybe just two guys that says, hey, we don't want you. And they said, you're stirring up the crowd. You know, what I'm saying by that, you may find that somebody tells you, hey, you got to stop talking about Jesus. Well, you know what? How do you stop talking about Jesus? You got to talk to people in love and tell them Jesus. We shouldn't be abusive or mean-spirited, but yet at the same time, we need to share our faith because there are people that need Jesus. I'm thankful for the one that took time to share Jesus with me, aren't you? And I'm thankful I have a home to look forward to one day that's an eternal home. And my challenge to you, if be willing to take up your cross, like Jesus said, and follow him daily.